a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
On a day where the Buffalo Bills beat the New York Jets Monday Night Football the night before, in a game that was down to the wire, bad calls, bad kickers, and a day where the Jets, right after that game went down, traded a third-round pick for Davante Adams. Who'd have thought that Jerry Jones, owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, would somehow steal all of the spotlight away from the sports world? There's a part of me that believes this is him playing chess, not checkers, leaning into his persona that I believe is a caricature to a degree. Maybe he watched a little bit of that Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix. Whatever the case, he does a weekly hit on the morning show at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And things got very testy this morning. We're going to play this, pause it at certain points. This is all-time Jerry Jones.
Jerry, 1970, a little different from this past off season in building the team we're talking about today, which there was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out be accurate?
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years.
Okay? Let's pause for a moment. I mean, that would be fun. I'd love to sit down with Jerry Jones for a little bit, get a little bit of Johnny Walker Blue, and he can go over some of the decisions that he's made over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and hopefully, keep it, to football stuff.
You want to keep it to football stuff? I don't want to keep it to football.
All I want to ask is non-football
questions. I want to do Mario Edwards things with Jerry Jones,
There's just certain things, that his players' attributes, I don't want to discuss with Jerry Jones.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Ramalama Ding Dongs?
Nah, not with Jerry.
You don't want to talk about size?
Not with the Jerry Bear.
What made you want to draft Michael Parsons? Well,
here's his whole scout report.
All his measurables. All of them, son.
You see that one right there? I'll tell you what.
What's the thing you said about mosquitoes?
I can look up the...
Like a circumcised mosquito.
Yeah.
I don't know why he said it, but I just know he said it.
He said a lot of things over the years, and here he is continuing to say things while on the morning show at 105.3, The Fan. It just keeps getting better and better.
I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
So.
Sure.
Things are getting a little bit murky as this goes along. Why is Jerry Jones agreeing to do this? When he's saying, well, why are you asking me about these decisions I made? Well, what else are we going to talk about? Oh, I don't have to do this phone interview with you on the radio. Well, then why are you doing it?
Yeah, like, if you don't want to, like, you just lost 47-9. There's questions to be asked and answered after a game like this. Is he threatening the guy's job, you think? You think he has that pull?
For sure he has that pull.
At the very least, he has the pull to, I'm not doing an interview with that guy.
They're the flagship station of the Dallas Cowboys. Indirectly, he is their boss.
Yes.
So, with that in mind, if I am a host in that spot, I am definitely nervous. I'd feel pretty good about the guy in my corner, their boss up there, who was my boss back in the day, Gavin Spittle, who runs things over it there. He would definitely have my back, but I don't know. It's Jerry Jones.
Soft boy.
What?
You're nervous some guy who makes or who's worth like $10 billion is going to take your job away from you?
Yes, I would be.
When you're working mornings interviewing him on the Dallas Cowboys flagship?
It would be a bad look for the Cowboys, for sure. But you know what? I mean, it could be Jerry Jones distracting people from the bad team by getting people to focus on an awkward conversation that he had on the radio.
Yeah, like it's the topic the rest of the day almost. Like, I'm assuming like there's not some like mandate to like our guy Freddie D, who does nights there now, being like, hey Fred, don't talk about this. Like, I can't imagine that would go over
I'll also say, even if Fred did get that email,
he might say
some freelancing on that one.
Fred would, well, here's the thing, I don't know how many people remember this. Fred once talked a little trash about Mattress Mac and at 610 at nights, and they brought on Mattress Mac and they basically like had a hug it out powwow session. It was great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fred's awesome.
Fred's the best.
He's my favorite people in the business.
I only found out he was doing nights at 105.3 this week. I was very happy.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. No. I saw the fan tweet it one day and I was like, oh, like, I guess Fred can't fill in here anymore.
but anyway, Fred, not doing this interview. This is the morning show at 105.3 The Fan, and it continues to get more and more awkward with Jerry Jones seeming a lot more angry, and on top of that, the radio hosts sounding a lot more nervous.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out if what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners.
Nice.
And I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking.
He did apologize twice along the way there. And I like how he starts talking to the listeners and the fans.
Yeah, pivot to the...
After saying that, hey, I mean, I'll find somebody else to ask me these questions. I think this is one great move by Jerry Jones to redirect attention away from Mike McCarthy saying we relish the opportunity to prove ourselves after losing 47-9, and CeeDee Lamb saying they'll be fine going into a bye week. This allows everybody to move off of the Dallas Cowboys and say, Jerry Jones, the worst. This is, I am convinced that this is Jerry Jones knowing that if I do this, people will get distracted, and it's good for my flagship station that I'm coming on and threatening people's jobs on the air.
Yeah, I mean,
there's showmanship here.
Yeah, it's definitely like a ratings bonanza for them today.
Oh,
this is a huge day for them.
I'm going to listen. No, probably not going to listen to their show after that.
I'm not going to.
But maybe Fred. I'll listen to Fred at night.
Look,
this is all-time moment.
Yeah, this only will happen. Maybe, like, you could have seen this in New England with Belichick doing interviews.
I just don't think he, like, cares enough to...
Yeah.
To pull that card. Like, he would just be... It would be the last part where he goes, no, you're not going to sit here and figure it out with your microphones in front of you, because if you were, you'd be in my meeting and you'd be the smartest person in the meeting. Like, it's the... Yeah, you're not going to figure it out, because if I couldn't figure it out, you can't figure it out. And that's more the tone that most owners would take, or most, you know, people in power would take there.
And there's a reason why no one does this besides Jerry.
Yeah, there's, Cal doesn't have a weekly.
Like, the only time, like, you, like, see is when they're, like, Cal and Hannah will pump up the new jerseys and stuff like that in
and
the offseason.
And this is Hannah, because Hannah has a lot more personality than Cal. Don't worry, Cal.
Tillman may or not be totally sober when he's saying tank for Wemby.
It was Mardi Gras.
It was Mardi Gras.
I'm just saying, it's the only time you're going to get him. And Jim Crane, the only time you see him is when he's sitting on the bench waiting to shake hands with AJ Hinch at this point.
When they're winning, he's more available than when they're losing.
I was at 790 for 3.5 years. They won a World Series while I was there.
Oh, really?
Never talked to him once.
Wow.
Not once?
Never on the station.
I would have thought he would hop on two days after.
I don't even think he came on, like, he was never on with, like, the play-by-play broadcast. Like, wow. Those are your employees.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever heard Jim Crane do a radio interview.
I did one with him. Not even kidding.
Really?
I was filling in for, get this, Fred Davis.
It all comes together.
With Barry Warner.
Combo.
It was interesting. I mean, Barry's the reason it happened.
Yeah.
Barry knows everybody in Houston. And yeah, it was in studio. I mean, that's how bad the Astros were. Jim Crane's on the night show at the Texans flagship station, sitting with us, talking with us. It was right after they had moved into the American League. Yeah, I couldn't believe that happened. I also interviewed Jeff Luno for the night show at the Texans flagship station. This is all before any of these people started succeeding. Yeah, that's for sure.
This has to be like 2012, 2013, right?
Luno, I think Luno was in 15 where I got him. It was before
when no one wanted to talk to him.
But before.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The only time like I've talked to an owner was Tillman. And because I can't remember who I was working with at the flagship. It was when you were doing mornings. And they were just ripping on him like right after he bought the team and he just called us.
Oh, yeah. Fertitta did that. Yeah. I remember Mark Ryan was filling in for me once, and Mark Ryan antagonized Tillman in some way that led to Tillman having this epic rant, and Mark got no credit because he was filling in on the Paul Gallant show. People were like, great interview, Paul, and I was like, I wasn't on.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
My only claim to fame of a random person calling in was when I called Ed Emmett a boob for basically overruling the voters of the city of Houston who voted to demolish the Astrodome. And he was listening, I guess. He called in. We had a very pleasant conversation. He was actually very nice.
That's funny. I still
think his obsession with the Astrodome, which is an effing dump, making that a historical landmark, the ugliest historical landmark in the world. It is a herpes sore on the city of Houston. It's an egregious crime against the taxpayers of this city. But he was very nice. Even if he was boobish.
So he's a good boob.
He's a good boob. He was a polite boob over the air.
Boobs can be good.
Yeah. But I can't. What a fast one he pulled. And honestly, it's because of that we have a certain somebody sitting in his former seat. Anyway, hey! Galata George is Joe and Paul. Sean Mapes behind the glass playing with the boys. I feel like it's just going to get worse and worse. They're on a bye week, by the way. They're on a bye week.
And honestly, like, it just got worse.
Yeah.
Remember when they traded Amari Cooper to the Cleveland Browns for a 5th and 6th round pick?
No.
And people criticized them, the Cowboys, for that?
Well,
he just got traded for a 3rd round pick to the Bills. So people are going to be crushing Jerry Jones for that move.
Oh, wow. That trade just went
just
down?
Just happened.
Okay.
Yeah, in the middle of the second.
So, like, Cowboys trade Cooper away because they don't want to pay him for a 5th and a 6th. The team you traded him to got a 3rd back for him and didn't have to pay him. Tough look for Jerry today.
Certainly is. All right, it's Gallant and George. Two big receiver trades today in the NFL. Devontae Adams to the Jets for a 3rd-round pick. Amari Cooper now to the Buffalo Bills, also for a 3rd-round pick. Coming up next, we haven't talked enough Texans today. We haven't. And guess what? The hype is back, baby. We're talking about MVPs for C.J. Stroud. The national media believes it. Do you? Stay put.
Hey, if you believe it, next time you go to the Burj Lake Charles, you can look at the MVP odds and see what they're looking like right now. Last I saw, CJ Stroud was 4th or 5th to win MVP this year. So you want to do future bets, game day bets. Honestly, if you're a Longhorn fan, an A&M fan, college football at La Burge is a vibe. It is so much fun being there for a game. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when they face off in a couple weeks. It's going to be so much fun at LaBerge. When you leave Texas, bet your Texas teams, make sure you do it there. You got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, great food whipping up from Chef Lyle. They'll also coming up on October 26th. Be having their Halloween party this year, so lots of fun stuff coming up. When you leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at ESPN Bet at LaBerge Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texas score! They even brought the seizure back for good luck on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch, ESPN 975. Hopefully, my hair still looks pretty. Guess what? The 5-1 Texans are getting hype from outside of town again. Everyone here nitpicking, complaining about being 5-1.
Well, they could have won by more than 24 touchdowns.
That's some of you people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear when I read it. That's what I hear.
Those
and
people
probably
aren't allowed to drive their cars.
No, I think they could be allowed to drive their cars.
Judging by how some of the drivers operate.
Yes. Do you drive on Westheimer, Sean?
Rarely, but yeah.
Okay.
It's not great.
It's every day for me. There's a maniac every single day out there. And that person's in their car, and they're not paying attention to the road. They're like,
well, the Packers are the last place team, so what could they prove?
Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm being mean. Somebody is hyping up C.J. Stroud as MVP. It's not just one person. It's two people. Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes before last night's Monday Night Football game are all aboard the C.J. Stroud hype train.
Any conversation that has to be around the MVP 100% yes. has to include C.J. Yes. C.J. Stroud. I'm telling everybody, what he is doing is overcoming and covering up a lot of deficiencies right now in their offensive unit. I do think, although they scored 41, Nico was missed.
Yeah.
Yes. But the positive is Stephon Diggs, very much so, stepped forward and made some big plays for this offense. I'm not saying he stepped into that one role, but if he has to play the one role for a couple weeks, I think that you have a lot of confidence in doing that.
I just look so forward every week, Monday, to watching C.J. Stroud on
tape. Look at this throw.
More than any other quarterback. Because I'm just saying, you do not appreciate the level of difficulty you described until you see it on tape, until you see the tightness of windows, the pressure that he is under. He is making more special passes than any quarterback in the NFL this year.
I agree with Mina. Dan starts talking about C.J. for MVP and then gets ADD.
What do you think about the... Do you think he's really covering up that many deficiencies in the offense?
He is certainly covering up a run game that really seems to be built on running up the middle, get a 50-yard gain.
Yeah.
It's all the third and seven and aboves. That's where C.J. Stroud is covering up the deficiencies.
It definitely is the best number, like statistical thing, like when you look at him, is his... How he excels on third and seven and longer. That you say, okay,
that's the deficiencies that
he's coming up. is an all time level of what he's doing in a tough spot.
And some of the how you end up in third and seven, a lot of times it's either the running game, because normally you're going to run on the early downs, not getting going, and penalties, which check and check for the Houston Texans.
I don't think he's in the MVP conversation quite yet. I feel like by the end of the year, he'll be closer. But I think right now, the statistics have not been impressive enough. I don't care about passing yards. I really don't. I know he's probably close to the top at this moment in time. But the last couple of weeks, there have been sloppy moments. Are all of those interceptions his fault? I would argue Dalton Schultz should have fought back to the ball on that deflected pass in the end zone that a Patriot defender picked off, but also Stroud could have put it in a better spot. He's had a couple of misfires the last few weeks. He has not been as so careful and meticulous with ball placement as he's been, but to what Mina is saying, the visuals of what you see with Stroud are really something else if you haven't been watching. And I know a lot of our Twitch has not been watching.
Well, yeah, because like you look at the odds right now. So right now it's Patrick Mahomes is the favorite, followed by Josh Allen, followed by Lamar Jackson, and then CJ Stroud.
Jackson should be number one right now.
Yeah, I don't think
the problem is he just he's won it too many times
and he's failed too much in the playoffs. We're like, it's not supposed to, you're not supposed to vote that way.
It's so,
but we all know they vote that way.
It's so funny. MVP awards involve so much fatigue, and it's really about who's the best quarterback in a year where we want this person to be the best quarterback. And how many years has it been since Patrick Mahomes won an MVP?
I bet it's been
at least 2 years, right?
Well, he didn't win it last year.
I know he didn't win it last year.
He might have won it the year before.
Maybe he won it 2 years ago? Yeah. Whatever the case, Mahomes probably doesn't have as many MVPs as he should.
Yeah, he has two.
He has two, okay.
Last one was 2022.
Yeah, he had one his first year as a starter, and then 2020.
Go. And that's why, like, it's really going to come down to, like we've talked about before, who gets the one seed. The only advantage CJ has right now is, if you look statistically, he has more passing yards by quite a bit. He has 300 more passing yards than Patrick Mahomes. He has 4 more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. He has 2 less interceptions than Patrick Mahomes. He has a better QBR than Patrick Mahomes, a better rating than Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's been a much better quarterback statistically this year than Mahomes. They're having a tough year. What's really going to come down to is, like, I think that's that stretch with Baltimore, Kansas City is going to decide who's the MVP.
Timing is the most important thing. Yeah. It's about what you did last that resonates the most, unless you have the kind of campaigns that we've seen Lamar Jackson have now twice. But in 2019, when he won it the first time, it was the second half where he really took off. Yeah. I think it was midway through the year. It was him and Russell Wilson for a little bit. And then the Ravens kicked the Seahawks' ass. I was at that game. And Jackson just ran with it from that point on.
Yeah, so much of the NFL, like you said, there's so much that goes on for NFL MVP other than just who do we think the most valuable player in the NFL is. And timing is a huge part of it. It's the idea of momentum in the award, where it's like, well, you don't really have momentum to win this award because it's not really anything that's being like, they're not voting every week. They're voting at the very end. So you can't really have momentum in this. And the Texans have a great spot with those two big games. Sorry, Dolphins, it's not 3 big games anymore. So those 2 big games at the end of the season.
I mean, and you look at these stretches. CJ and the Texans, they have 3 primetime games in a row.
Yeah.
Lions, Cowboys, Titans. I mean, Jets, Lions, Cowboys are 3 primetime games in a row. And then the Chiefs game, while it's not a primetime game, it is going to be a standalone game on Saturday at noon, followed by the Christmas game on Netflix on Wednesday. So if he plays great in these 5 games specifically, and they go like 4-1 in them, he's going to win the MVP.
There's not going to be any problem with C.J. Stroud didn't win because the voters weren't watching his games. It's like, nope, he's going to have plenty of time or plenty of the spotlight to really grab a hold of this thing if he keeps up the numbers.
He has to have a big game that Sunday night game against the Lions. It's partly because of how good the Lions are right now, but it's also because that game, just given the way that the Lions play defensively, especially now that they don't have Aiden Hutchinson for the foreseeable future, and on top of that, the fact that their offense is so good, it'll probably be a shootout. It'll be Stroud versus Goff. That's the game where he can put himself in the driver's seat.
Because you're going to put up numbers. Right. It's going to be, even though it's not a great defense, it is going to be a game that you're going to impress people when you put up those big numbers.
Right. And I'm not sure the Thursday game against the Jets, or with the way things are going for the Cowboys, the Monday game against the Cowboys is going to elevate him in the same way that, weirdly, a game against the Lions would.
Yes, that might be a situation where he can make those other 2 games, the Jets and the Cowboys games. That might be a situation kind of like what Will Anderson did on Sunday.
Against the Patriots.
Where you make your season numbers look a lot better by beating up on, you know, really, really putting up some gaudy stats against 2 teams that aren't as competitive.
All right. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 2 big wide receiver trades in the NFL just today. an incredible foreign call from last night's Monday Night Football game. And, man, things are getting really messy in Cleveland. Stick around, Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Incredible call of Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary touchdown pass. The fourth of his career, right at halftime of a game between the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills that we watched last night. The Bills won this game 23-20. That was a huge Hail Mary. Honestly, it's the only reason the Jets were in this game at the very end. And it led to a couple of moves today. First, Devontae Adams. The Jets traded for him. They gave up just a third-round pick, sending him to the Las Vegas Raiders to bring him aboard. They're going to pay all of Adams' salary this season. I even saw in studio on the Pat McAfee show, Aaron Rodgers was doing his interview with Pat McAfee, and all of a sudden Devontae Adams comes sneaking into the background, and they talk with him for a little bit.
Yeah, I saw it. Like, it was like 30 minutes after the trade happened.
Yeah.
Someone was like, he's in the building. I'm like, oh, okay.
He might have been in the building when the Jets got off the plane.
They said he took a red eye this morning.
Okay.
He said he like heard the news and took a straight flight there.
Gotcha, okay. Also, the Buffalo Bills, who, of course, traded Stephon Diggs to the Texans this offseason, clearly don't feel great about their wide receiver group. So they traded a third-round pick to the Cleveland Browns for Amari Cooper. I mean, pretty crazy that the Browns are sticking with Deshaun Watson under center without Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how that goes for them. But I think this is a good move for Buffalo. And going back to a couple of segments ago, Joe, it is pretty interesting that Jerry Jones let this guy go, especially considering the Cowboys could use a lot of weapons on offense after CeeDee Lamb right now.
Who's more threatening now that these trades have happened? Is it Buffalo? Buffalo was already there.
I think the Bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is
a good move. I like this move a lot for Buffalo.
Yeah. I think even between it was like in the time between the Adams trade and the Cooper trade when it was just Jets added Adams, I still probably would have gone with the Bills above the Jets in the pecking order, and with them getting Cooper now, now they're like a real team, because we saw it when they played against the Texans. Is that, I mean, other than the one Keon Coleman
catch and run,
yeah, where he catches a curl, breaks a tackle, and runs it in. None of those guys really scare you that much,
right? Now Shakir didn't play in that game.
That is true,
but yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Keon Coleman, maybe at the end of the year, he's someone that actually scares me. He's a big guy, and
he's a physical matchup problem, but he hasn't quite put it together.
But now you have Shakir, Coleman,
and now Cooper.
And Amari Cooper.
Who's like a good number, or he's a good number one.
And you have like one of their biggest strengths is Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. They're two tight ends. So like they've got weapons. They're a threat still.
They do have two solid tight ends. I think Kincaid's a little overrated.
I'm with you on that. I think the hype train got way out of control for him.
It's just like it was with Kyle Pitts, and I've learned my lesson. I'm just not buying into any first-round tight end picked ever again.
Although, Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers is like my favorite. Brock Bowers,
you got to really put, I guess, I'm not in on him based off potential alone, or potential in where they're drafted alone. You got to put up some numbers, and Brock Bowers is putting up numbers, and with Adams out, going to put up way more.
Yep.
Are the Texans fans who keep on negging their 5-1 start going to act like the win over the Bills has an asterisk because Amari Cooper wasn't there?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
No, well, also, You know what we need now?
What?
Texas need to make a move in response.
Yeah. What's the counter?
Who? What? They need to bring back Hopkins? Oh, Tennessee probably doesn't trade in the division. Oh,
yeah. Especially with all the hostility between Hannah McNair and Amy Adams Strunk.
Maybe Higgins?
What
trade
about
for T. Higgins?
What about not a wide receiver?
Yeah, they don't need a wide receiver.
No, no. They need to keep up.
Stop, Joe.
David Njoku?
They don't need it. Well,
if they're going to trade, if the Browns are going to blow it up.
And I do think the Browns should start selling off pieces.
David Njoku,
he looked pretty good against them in the playoffs last year.
He did look good against them. And if I'm the GM, whoever is good against me, I should definitely trade for them. That never goes wrong.
Trevin Jordan's out for the rest of the year.
Did you love what you saw from Schultz?
No, not on Sunday. And Kate Stover is...
A rookie.
He's essentially a fullback. This point.
Well, I mean, they used Kendrick Green at fullback on Sunday.
They did.
So, not to be confused with Kenyon Green. They have two offensive linemen.
It's too confusing.
Ken Green.
That go by Ken Green, yes. Yeah. Monday Night Football was a rough watch. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about one of the worst roughing the passer calls I've seen in quite some time.
Can you just talk a little bit about the penalties tonight?
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Made a South Park reference there. Rogers does have his references.
Didn't know what that was.
Sarcastic ball was a episode of South Park where they started playing a different version of football. Honestly, I forget it off the top of my head, but I do remember having watched it. Rodgers is right. I'm glad a quarterback has finally spoken up about these ridiculous, hey, a guy falls on you penalties. But there was a touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown on the field that they needed a replay review to see. It looked like it was pretty clearly a touchdown for the Jets in the moment. You had the roughing the passer call. There was a play late where Rodgers looked like he fumbled and the call on the field was overturned, and when Sean McDermott asked if he could challenge it, they said that they couldn't challenge it, which seems to be strange. I would have liked to have a second look at it too, but instead they allowed New York to just make the decision right there. There was a pass interference on a ball that was thrown at least 8 yards out of bounds or so.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
So the refs did not look very good last night in Monday Night Football, and it has, as always, been a year where the referees are just always going to be the victims of the amazing cameras that people get to watch these games on.
Yeah, I mean, you have 204 penalty yards.
22 penalities for 200-plus.
Not great football.
Correct.
But it's also the ref show a little bit. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers, the ultimate, kind of crybaby, is calling out the refs for a penalty that happened against him.
Oh, he's not the ultimate. I mean, listen, my Lord and Savior Tom Brady is very sacred to me, but Tom Brady was bad about it. Tom Brady was very bad about yelling at the refs. Peyton Manning was bad about yelling at the refs. Dan Marino was bad about yelling at everyone. It's one of those things where quarterbacks are always doing it. I don't know that Rodgers is unique. And honestly, he's probably unique in saying that was BS.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the honesty.
I do too.
I would rather, because it is an awful, awful call.
Yeah, it really was.
Of all the things that they've got, they get wrong in the NFL. When they do the body weight thing for a sack, I'm just like, what sport are they playing?
Yeah, that the body weight one's the worst of, it's the worst genre of roughing the passer calls. Followed shortly behind the when it's not a face mask, but a defender's arm just hits the helmet, hits the side of the helmet of the quarterback. That's also not a good one. I see what we're trying to do here. Still don't love that. But yeah, body weight's just terrible.
Also terrible, the Cleveland Browns situation. They just traded Amari Cooper to the Bills, but back-to-back days, Kevin Stefanski has defended sticking with Deshaun Watson. And to wrap up the 10-minute drill, Nick Sirianni, you'll hear more from him in case you missed it, at 2:30. What a Sunday for him. Between shaving his head like he's Britney Spears, getting into it with fans after a win over the Browns, bringing his children up to a press conference after the game to perhaps shield from tough questioning, and then apologizing for the energy that he was bringing to his interactions with Eagle fans after the game. This guy is just not built for Philadelphia.
No, he's unraveling very quickly.
He's O'Brien-ing the crowd.
Yeah, he might honestly just be built for not being a head coach. Like, he might be one of those guys, like, you are an OC. Because I know Philly's tough.
Yeah.
But this also seems like something that would happen here or in Carolina. Or, like, just like as soon as the fans get on him too much, he's going to start screaming at him like this.
He's gotten into it with Chiefs fans. Yes. I'm sure that you could search Nick Sirianni yells at fans and get many examples of this. He's a passionate guy, but he does seem like a bit of a hothead. And without Shane Steichen, now the Colts head coach, and without Jonathan Gannon, it was a bad Sunday for the Cardinals against the Packers this past Sunday, but he seems to miss both of those coordinators.
I don't think there's a head coach that's gone Super Bowl runner-up, playoffs, currently 3-2, that all of NFL media and NFL fans are like, that guy's fired.
Yeah.
that guy is fired. And it's because of stuff like this. How he carries himself. He's an absolute clown.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would guess is close is probably
McCarthy, honestly.
I was thinking Dan Quinn. Because, like, we all kind of felt like his time was going to come up short in Atlanta. After the Super Bowl. Where, like, it's just, like, the way they lost that things would unravel quickly. But, I mean, wasn't Doug Peterson fired, like, 2 years after winning the Super Bowl in Philadelphia?
I think he was fired in 2019.
They stuck with Howie Roseman.
So, they fired him in 2020. So, they won the Super Bowl in 2017. They went 9-7, 9-7, and then he went 4-11-1, and they fired him.
At least he had the 4-11. They're still 3-2, and they are, if not the favorite to win the division, probably pretty close to the favorite to win the division.
NFC East is the NFL's SEC. It's just different.
Yeah. Just means more. More.
Yeah. Jinx.
Fake news.
They just beat up on each other.
NFC North is the SEC.
Shut up. Shut up.
What?
I know that they're all over. I know that they're all over 500 and that they have the best point differential of a division ever. But shut up. I don't want to hear it.
Commies, Commanders, favorite to win the East right now, plus 120. Eagles, plus 135.
It's good. Good. Good for me.
I'm a big NFC East guy. I can't wait for the next Giants Sunday Night Football game.
Oh, when gross. Is that? They have to.
Can you believe?
I guarantee you they have another one.
Could you believe they put them in Sunday Night Football?
I know it's a big market, but you have to at some point be like.
At least the Bears now have Caleb Williams.
Can we just like permanent flex Sunday Night Football, please?
Week 8. Can I interest you in a Monday night game in Pittsburgh with the Giants going to...
Steelers-Giants?
Yeah, Steelers-Giants.
Yeah, you can, because I might see a little Kate Mara.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe. Yeah.
Daniel Jones versus Russell Wilson on Monday Night Football? Make me puke.
Or Justin Fields.
It's Russ.
Oh, okay.
They said they might both play this weekend.
I like it.
They might do the two quarterback system.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do that this weekend in
Pittsburgh.
Love the two quarterback system.
Can't wait.
It always works.
It always works so well, unless you're Florida.
God, week 11, we also have Colts Jets.
Joe Flacco versus Aaron Rodgers?
Joe Flacco revenge game?
Flacco revenge.
Yeah, I mean, like Anthony Richardson, good luck to you, buddy. But I'd rather see Joe Flacco out there.
That is the 10-minute drill. Hey, look, the Texans are 5-1. Doesn't it feel good when you hear about all the bad going on across the league and all the desperate trades going on as well? Up next, who are the three most important Houston Texans the rest of the way? He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Stick around.
Let's talk about OAthletic. OAthletic.com, 767 North Shepherd over in the Heights. You can see a bunch of stuff on OAthletic on Instagram as well. They offer over 100 classes per week early up in the morning. They take a break during the day, pick back up around 4:30. So you can get a workout in, get a class in right after your workday is over, whether it's weightlifting training, agility training, if you want to dip into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and boxing as well. All those kinds of classes are offered to you. You can sign up for a personal trainer. They will work around your schedule, whether it's 1 to 5 days a week, whatever you want. They will make it work for you. Don't wait till 2025 to start working on your goals. Get in the gym now and do it at OAthletic.
ESPN 97.5.
You are back with
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
He's Joe and Paul. Texans are 5-1. But they're only a third of the way through the year. We all know C.J. Stroud's important. But Joe, after C.J. Stroud, who's going to be the three most important guys the rest of the way?
Joe Mixon.
Number one?
Number one.
Wow.
I think they can survive. I don't know if they can win a Super Bowl without Nico Collins, but even with Nico, I think they have to be able to run the ball and do it the way they've done. We saw how much of a struggle it was last year and this year without Mixon. So yeah. I'll put Joe Mixon number one on my list.
They need to have talent at running back. That's an interesting one. Running back. Running backs do matter, people.
I think they're making a comeback.
Well, because now no one can pass anymore. So
we got to ban the cover two, so the running back.
With Mixon in the game, what I noticed the most is Mixon in the passing game. That the boost, the upgrade that you get from Mixon, the pass catching running back from Cam Akers, is stark. Of when they can throw him the ball, he can make something happen way more than anyone else on this Texans roster.
Yeah, that's why I'm with you. Like that's why. So for me, Mixon's number one. I'm gonna go Will Anderson.
Okay. Best player on defense. I don't think it's close.
Number three, because I think he's my favorite player on the Texans right now.
Whoa.
I think I'm going to go with Aziz
Al-Shaair. Aziz Al-Shaair. Wow, Joe's going old school.
Yeah, running back and a linebacker. Defense.
Defense wins championships.
Front seven, too. Okay. No Stingley. No. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, those are my top three.
Okay. So my number one's Will Anderson. He's your best defensive player, and he has been producing. Number two for me, and you haven't seen it yet, it's Danielle Hunter. You got to get more out of Danielle Hunter. And it does seem like, at the very least, Will Anderson said that, hey, when I was in this game, Hunter was telling me I had zero sacks the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they have a pretty healthy relationship, and that is working. But I think this is the most important one. And I'm going all in the trenches here. They got to have Laremy Tunsil all year. And I know that Laremy Tunsil has the false starts and he has the holding penalties because he's wearing the red gloves against the white jerseys. But he is your best offensive lineman. And if this team is going to keep C.J. Stroud upright, they need to have that offensive line as intact as they possibly can. I think he's the one guy that they can't get by without. I just don't think they can do it. So hopefully he will be healthy for the remainder of this year and continue to play at a high level. The false starts and illegal formations have cut down. And now it's just a matter of, can he, now that his preseason is over, seeing he just doesn't practice during training camp, he can be this guy the rest of the year.
On a side note with the gloves thing, I can't remember if I told you this, but when I was at the Bills game and they wore the cool new uniforms, when the players ran out of the tunnel, I was looking for it. I was like, what's Tunsil got on? He had black gloves on. They're blue.
I don't see color.
The dark blue.
The dark, 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 dark blue.
Sean also doesn't see color, but it's different for him.
Yeah, literally.
I don't see color because I'm just better than you people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just a morally better person.
Except for when he's not wearing white gloves and getting penalties.
Because the red gloves stand out so much. But even Paul's like, hey, whoa, that looks a little different.
Yeah. I mean, Laremy Tunsil's white, right? Yeah. I don't know. I can't tell.
He must be fine because there's been no updates on him, right?
We're going to ask DJ about it.
Yeah.
Because I watched the press conference yesterday, and again, I keep on nitpicking the questions. I can't believe no one asked about Laremy Tunsil. I mean, he did leave the game. He sat on the bench. Everything's okay. All right, cool.
I'm curious, like, because Laramie's a good one that I didn't have on my list because, like Fisher, if he had to sub in for Titus long term, I'd feel okay. But I don't love the idea of Blake Fisher and Titus Howard being your tackles.
You don't?
That would be tough. That would be not fun.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, Laramie Tunsil probably should have been on my list, but he's not on there.
No,
because I love Azeez Al-Shaair.
Yeah, he's been so violent, and I think he's been a tremendous addition. I mean, they upgraded at linebacker this offseason after a year where Blake Cashman played very well. They let him walk to Minnesota. And while Cashman, I'm sure, has had some probably good moments there, and it was annoying seeing Kamu Grugia-Hill, another ex-Texans linebacker, do well against the Texans in that Vikings-Texans game, he has been, Al-Shaair, probably the most impactful Houston Texans defensive player on a weekly basis.
Especially because I don't like love the updates about Christian Harris, where it just kind of keeps being like, not going to practice, we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder what that injury is, and the more I hear about it, I mean, I think it was a calf injury. Yeah. He aggravated it. I remember being there when he aggravated it, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, great. I mean, is this an Achilles or something like that? It's not like he was down for a super long period of time. But yeah, Christian Harris, very good, but I mean, how long is it going to take him to ramp back up? You'd say the same thing about DeNico Autry, who just got reinstated. Meanwhile, Al-Shaair had a knee injury in Sunday's game. Didn't matter. He still played through it. Had a forced fumble after that happened. Al-Shaair lost 10 pounds in a week where he was puking all over the place. Mm-hmm. Still played in the game. Played really well.
And did you mention Toto?
Henry Toto is dealing with a concussion.
Yeah, and he missed, what, two games last year with concussion? So that's not great.
Yeah, why are we talking about Tua? We're not talking about Toa? Toa?
That's very well done.
What are you going to do when he wears a Guardian cap?
He should do whatever is best for.
Sean doesn't like Guardian caps. We found out yesterday.
And the guy wore in the Bills game last night wearing it at safety. That was weird. Rap.
Yeah, he was playing well though.
I know.
But you don't look cool wearing those.
No, you do not.
That's all that matters in life.
Yeah.
You have to play good.
That's why I smoke cigarettes, and that's why I'd wear a Guardian cap. I would not wear a Guardian cap helmet out there.
Yeah, the Marlboro man. You don't see him wearing a Guardian.
No,
cap.
No, you don't.
Joe Camel, no Guardian cap.
Nope. No.
All those cool cigarette guys.
I'm just ripping butts. When I was playing high school football at Shorecrest Preparatory School.
Just like in between halftime.
Yeah, I was doing.
Because it was so long ago.
I was smoking menthols, right, the whole game. Got to get that nicotine fix. That is not a violation of the NFL substance abuse policy, which Mario Edwards just did, by the way.
Because he was smoking those left-handed cigarettes. Allegedly. Maybe. We don't know.
Right you are there.
Maybe we'll find out.
Someday.
I seriously doubt we find out.
I'm waiting for the apology. I know Paul.
But he won't be like, sorry, I did Molly. Like, he's not going to say that.
We all stand with Mario Edwards, and I hope he does not apologize.
Nothing to apologize. Was it tainted Mexican beef? We have to ask.
Was it tainted
Colombian beef?
Was it tainted Colombian marching powder?
Yeah.
Did someone mess with his MDMA connect?
Look, we don't know what's in the Colombian food.
No, we don't.
I mean, look, there's giant hippos just running around everywhere.
That's true.
So you never know.
That's true. God, that's scary.
They do look terrifying.
By the way, so what's this little disgusting slime pig's name? The hippo that's taking the internet by storm? Mudang, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That thing is disgusting.
Oh, I don't care so much.
I'd rather see people's chihuahuas and pugs and bulldogs than Mudang, the hippo, which will eventually and trust me, it's going to happen. Eventually, that thing will bite somebody's arm off. And then everyone will stop acting how cute this hippo was. This little disgusting slime pig.
And they'll be like, what was the gorilla?
Harambe. Well, at least Harambe was a noble creature.
Trying to help
that child.
Mm-hmm. And still killed him.
But Mudang, F Mudang. F him. Yeah, I said it. I'll say what no one wants to hear. Hippopotamuses kill more people than any other animal that's a mammal. Number one in the world. People don't talk about that.
Is this PR from Big Hippo? Is that what Mudang
is? No, we should be able to hunt.
They're trying to redefine what it means to be hippo.
I'm saying we should be able to hunt hippos again, okay? We should be able to hunt hippos.
Do we have hippos?
Hippos would – no, they're not in the United States. They're only in Colombia, but invasive species and given the border –
well, they're not only in Colombia.
They're also in Africa.
They're not supposed to be in Colombia is the problem.
Given the state of our border, they're probably in our country right now. I mean, who's to say? I might walk outside and get eaten by a hungry, hungry hippo. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
Great game.
An MS-13 hippo.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared of that.
I tried to teach my son to play Hungry Hippo. Didn't go so well.
Really? Yeah.
Too young.
The strategy of it. He just starts.
I mean, he got the general concept.
I was going to say, that's how you play.
I would love to to eat a hippo. I would. Wouldn't you? They look like that. That would be really good meat, right?
It's basically veal, right?
Yeah,
it's like a little hippo burger.
Well, I'm not saying eat mudang, okay? That's not cool yet. But
it's a little irritating.
I mean, once he's bigger?
Yeah. You
a
need
hippo?
To get, you
a hippo burger? Hippo steak?
32 ounce?
Right. They're terrible. They're awful creatures. They kill people. They're mean, violent douche nozzles. Let's kill them.
There's
eat
a
them.
Place called Hippo Burgers in Houston?
I'm gonna go
Do
there.
They serve hippo?
I hope so.
There's no way.
Anyway.
There's no way.
On that note, mudang, watch out. We're coming. It's Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. What is the latest with Mario Edwards? Are the Texans going to trade for a wide receiver today, too? DJ Bienname, tell us next. Stay put.
ESPN. 97.5.